scripture readings. The first scripture reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. And just by way of note, 1 Corinthians 15, I would invite you to just sit alone and read it sometime, because it is what they call a self-contained passage. In other words, many scholars, I'm a pastor that believes, along with this thought, that this was a separate letter by itself that Paul actually wrote to the Christians at Corinth when they were having questions and confusion and doubts about the resurrection and what it all meant. And so Paul writes this as a foundational point, saying that if Christ hasn't been raised, that our faith is just in vain. That we're really no better than anybody, any other man-made religion that you might make in your garage. It's the resurrection that sets us apart. And Paul writes that, and I'd like to at least begin with that, to lay the foundation, and then we'll jump to Mark's gospel to hear the familiar words there. But listen to what the apostle writes. He writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And He was seen by Peter and then the 12. After that, He was seen of about 500 brethren at once." For those critics that have written over the years about the apostles were just hallucinating, you won't even find a therapist that will support that 500 people at one time could have the same hallucination and delusion. So Paul is giving us some absolute hard evidence here. He says, "He's appeared to more than 500 at one time, of whom the greater part remain, but some have fallen asleep or passed away. After that, He was seen of James and of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen by me, one born out of due time." And then from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. "And when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him." What they were doing was, since Good Friday, it was nearing sunset and the start of the Passover, Jesus was taken down and just given a very quick mummification and then put into the tomb. But what the women were doing was going, as was the Jewish custom, to go and properly anoint the body and prepare it for a traditional burial. Okay? "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the tomb," check this out, "at the rising of the sun. And they said unto themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb? And when they looked, they saw the stone was already rolled away, and it was very large. And entering into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. And he said unto them, don't be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold, the place where they laid Him. Now go your way. Tell His disciples and Peter that He goes before you into Galilee. There you will see Him just as He said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed." Let's pray. Father God, just thank You so much for Your holy word. And Father, just now move me out of the way, Lord. Hide me behind the cross. In fact, Lord, hide me behind the empty tomb, so that we might be able to experience the resurrected Christ. That through the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, we would hear this familiar message again. And Father, through the Holy Spirit, we would hear You calling us by name, transforming us. So we commit this time into Your hands, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. A story about a man who left Chicago for a vacation in Florida. His wife was away on a business trip, and she wouldn't be able to join him until the next day. So the man reached his hotel in Florida, and he thought he'd send his wife a very quick email. But being a guy, he didn't remember his wife's email address. And being a guy, the scrap of paper that he had written it down on, he had misplaced and left somewhere. He was trying his hardest to remember it from memory, and he thought he had it, but he was one letter off. But he still typed it out and sent it to that email address. In another location of the country, there was an older woman whose husband was a pastor, and he had passed away the day before. And after making the arrangements, she comes and she sits in her room and she calls up her emails and she opens this email, and all of a sudden her children in the other room hear this loud scream and a thump on the floor. They rush into Mom's room. She's passed out on the floor. They look at the computer screen, and here is the message. "Dearest wife, just got checked in. Everything prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Your loving husband. P.S. Sure is hot down here." Oh, boy. I don't believe I did that one, John. What could be more powerful than a message from the other side? Isn't that what we long for? Is to have a message from the other side. Over the years, I've officiated at many, many funeral services for unchurched people. And they're often fond of saying, "I wish we knew for sure. I wish somebody would be able to tell us." And my response is always the same. Somebody has come back. Somebody has been there. Somebody has come back. And you know what they've told us? It's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. You see, the importance of Easter is what separates us from every other religion of the world. And that's not man's doing. That's God's doing. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the benchmark that makes God's people unique. And without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, everything else we believe just implodes in on itself. Easter Sunday, the day God's people gather to celebrate that our crucified and dead Messiah has been raised from the dead. Christ is risen. Oh, man, man. 0.5%. We got a ways to go, Rob. We got a ways to go. You know, following the resurrection of Jesus, the disciples were transformed from lethargic, fearful, defeated followers into flaming witnesses, as described in the book of Acts and throughout church history. Flaming witnesses. And how many of us leave worship, and how many Christians all over the fruited plains will leave worship even today, looking like somebody just ran over their puppy? Instead of being joyous, instead of celebrating, looking like these guys here, instead of some of them that we hid back here so you can't see them. Speaking of emails, I'm going to make a confession to you, and I hope you don't get up and leave. If there's one thing that really, oh, John, I won't say aggravates me, but it gets me upset, is receiving forwarded emails. I'm sure you love getting them. I always get one. Everybody seems to send it to me. There's this one from a woman, Mrs. I Am a Thief, and she's locked in some prison in some foreign country somewhere where there's no running water, no electricity, no computers, but yet she was able to send me the email. And that's the one I get all the time, asking for my bank account and credit card information. But forwarded emails, if we're honest, don't we a lot of times just hit delete? I mean, it's kind of like, really, dude? Really? If you're at least going to send me a forwarded email, just go up and erase the FWD up the top of the bar so that maybe I'll open it and then delete it. But you know what? I fear, my friends, I fear that many of God's people treat Easter and treat the resurrection like I do forwarded emails. We come to church expecting to sing the three songs that we sing. We're going to hear the message so we can just sit back, put it in cruise. We know at some point the minister's going to get tired and let us go. And we're more worried about what time did a Philly start, what time is the ham done, and what time is my mother-in-law leaving tonight? Which becomes the focus. But the resurrection of Christ is what we're all about. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the power of our lives. It is who makes us who we are. Think about what Mark says. It was very dark outside early in the morning. The women went to the tomb in a last act of kindness for their teacher, for their Messiah. And when you go into a cemetery, you expect to find the dead. So they began thinking, oh my goodness, how are we going to roll the stone away? How is that going to... Because it's sealing the tomb. Now keep in mind, this was not a stone that just a bunch of guys could get together and push out of the way. This was something that was intentionally made. Yes, it was round, maybe about this thick or so, several feet thick, and it weighed 2 tons. And had to be put in place or removed through a pulley system. So this wasn't something the women, the disciples, or any group of Roman soldiers was going to do by themselves. It was a very complicated system. And yet Matthew tells us that an angel descended from heaven and God caused a big earthquake. And what I like to do, I like to think, my mind, you won't read this with any good theologians, but just in my mind, when Matthew says the angel was sitting on the rock, I think it was God's way through that angel of saying, dude, do you really think this is going to keep me out? Do you really think you were going to keep me out with this little thing? No wonder the Roman soldiers passed out of fear. The Bible says they dropped as if they were dead. And it was interesting because all of this happened, as Mark tells us in 16:2 there, at the rising of the sun. At the rising of the sun. And the angel says to the women, why do you seek the living among the dead? Wouldn't we all love to be able to go to a cemetery and hear those words? Why do you seek the living among the dead? But I would argue this morning that we can go to a cemetery and stand where our loved ones are and hear that same voice because they're not there if they have faith in Christ. They're not there. Because Paul says, quicker than we can blink, in a twinkling of an eye, we're transported from this life into the life which is still to come. The resurrection of Jesus is the cornerstone of our faith. Let me just give you a couple things that you can run with today. The first thing, the resurrection of Jesus provides victory over our past, or what I like to call our sin. John the Baptist called Jesus who? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world in John 1:29. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah anticipated and predicted in Isaiah 53 that the Messiah would die for our sins. 300 years before Isaiah, David wrote in Psalm 22 exactly how the Messiah was going to die. Scripture reminds us that it is God's will that all humanity be saved, 1 Timothy 2:4, and in 2 Peter 3:9, that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You see, without the resurrection of Christ, we don't know whether Christ was the atonement. Without the resurrection of Christ, we would have to conclude that He died for His own sins and not our sins. But the resurrection of Christ affirms that He is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God and our Messiah, and that our sins were thrust upon Him on the cross. That's why God sent Jesus into the world, to die for our sin on the cross, and to provide the means so that we, in faith, can have our relationship united. The cross literally becomes the bridge between Eden and paradise for us. Say these verses with me if you know them. John 3:16 and 17, which is the hub of the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You see, we all know John 3:16, but 17 is critical. It's got to be there to complete the thought. Paul combines the death and resurrection of Jesus as a single event in Romans 4:25 when he writes, listen, Jesus was handed over to death for our sins, listen, and was raised for our justification. What that means is simply this. As Jesus hung there on the cross, all of the sins from eternity past and future were all thrust upon Him. And as the Bible says, He who knew no sin became sin. And God looked out over eternity and He saw us who were going to come to a saving faith in Him. And as He took our sinfulness and thrust it on His Son on the cross, He took the righteousness of Christ and He gave it to all those who would believe in Him, making that incredible transference take place so that we then can become the adopted children of God. And all this is possible because of the resurrection. You see, if you don't have the resurrection, there is no connection from Genesis to Revelation. In fact, the prediction God makes in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3:15 never happens. And there's no connection. At the cross, instead of receiving judgment, we're offered salvation. At the empty tomb, instead of death, we are offered life. This God that we worship is a God of extraordinary possibility. And this God of extraordinary possibility invites us to be made new. The God whose dreams are bigger than we can imagine, as Jeremiah 29 tells us, invites us to become big dreamers and see life with new eyes and daring possibility. All this is possible because Christ is risen. All right, 11%. Second, the resurrection of Jesus provides hope for the future. There's a couple verses in the Bible that do startle me. They do startle me. One of them is one that says it's appointed once for man to die and then the judgment. Another one is there's a time to be born and a time to die. And I have to tell you, probably like the rest of the world that doesn't have any hope, I'd probably be lost too. Except Jesus comes along and check this out. He says, those who believe in Me, in John 11, those who believe in Me have eternal life, period. You don't have to be able to speak different languages. He says, those who believe in me have eternal life. John 11:25. It is there. The resurrection of Jesus proves that our final enemy, death itself, has been squashed. Therefore, when we pass, when our loved ones pass, when friends pass, death does not become a period on the life of those saved, but simply becomes a comma, and the life carries on. It carries on in His presence. Luke writes in Acts 2:24, it's impossible that Christ should be held by death. Check out Ephesians 1:19 and 20, where Paul expands on this just a little bit. Luke 24:9 says that the women returned from the tomb and told the 11 and all the rest. All the rest. Love that. Matthew 28:8 says the women left the tomb quickly and with great awe and great joy. I pray that we won't leave Easter service gone. But we'll leave with great joy and great awe. Because our final enemy has been defeated. That's why Paul says, where, O grave, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, mercy. You getting this out there? Amen? All right, 16 of you are. Good. John 17:3 says, listen, you got to get this. This blows me away. You got to get this. John 17:3, Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they, us, may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Listen, a lot of times we think that eternity starts when the undertaker says everything is done. Listen to me. For a child of God, somebody's been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, who's come to faith in Him, who's indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Friends, we're living in eternity now. We're living in it right now. We go on from life to life. We just don't stop. There's no holding tank. There's nothing like that for us. Because He says that we will be translated, His word for me, and transformed like that, and we're in His presence when we breathe our last here. So we go from life to life. That's why I get excited about Easter. That's why I pray you get excited about Easter. That's why I pray you want to tell others about the Easter story. Because it makes a difference in our lives. You know, we can live in eternity now. We can know, as Paul says, the sufferings of this age do not compare to the glories that await us in the life which is still to come. All this is possible because Christ is risen. Finally, Jesus provides hope, check this out, for the present. For the present. John Wesley said that God's power is not only for those who have died, but also in, quote, preserving believers in their spiritual life. The resurrection allows us to reach out to Christ by faith and receive strength that we need to face any situation in life. To quote Paul's favorite book, says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because the Holy Spirit is with us. We can be in a doctor's office. We can be in an emergency room. We could be getting a pink slip from our employer. There could be a relationship issue. There can be a financial issue. Whatever the issue is in our life, having the resurrected Christ with us and claiming the resurrection power of eternity that we're living in right now, God can bring a resurrection to that situation. God can bring a resurrection. That is why that man from Pittman wrote, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me what? I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Oh, because of the resurrection, Jesus is ready to come into our daily lives. John 14:21, granting us empowerment through the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, providing peace, John 14:27, to guide us, John 16:13, to lead us, Isaiah 48:17, to teach us, Isaiah 48, John 14:26, to help us, John 14:16, to help in every and all circumstances, good, bad, or indifferent, Philippians 4:19, when we respond by faith, according to 1 John 3:4. We need to just exercise that resurrection hope, that resurrection power, that resurrection faith. Because He tells us in Hebrews, I will never leave you or forsake you. Before He ascended, He says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's why Bill and Gloria Gaither are right. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because
He lives.
Because He lives. That's what He means about having our whole being wrapped up in Christ. Therefore, the life I live is not mine, but Christ living in me. Jesus tells us, these things I've spoken to you so that in me you might have peace. And in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Friends, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. And because Jesus lives, listen, you and I can live life to the fullest serving Him because the sting of the past, the sting, potential sting of the future, and even the sting of the present have been totally taken care of in His precious hands on the cross. A father and son were traveling down a country road one spring afternoon. Suddenly a bee flew in the window. Being deathly allergic to bee stings, the boy began to panic as the bee began buzzing all around the car. Seeing the horror on his son's face, the father reached out and caught the bee in his hand. Soon, he opened the hand and the bee began to fly around once again. The boy started to scream and panic once again. But the father says, son, it's okay. Relax. Look, I took the stinger. He can't hurt you anymore. Friends, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, He took the sting out of death. He took the sting out of life. There is nothing, nothing that can hurt us. That's the email God keeps forwarding. He keeps forwarding. Can we take that forwarded email and can we place it permanently on the hard drive of our hearts and the hard drives of our minds so that we can constantly be reminded that our Savior is with us, that He's taken the sting out of it all? Will you allow the resurrection of power of Jesus to be born in your hearts? Oh yes, Christ is risen. And Father, we thank You for the awesome resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank You so much that He's taken the sting out of death. He's taken the sting out of life. Lord, we can be Your abundant people. Father God, just continue to reinforce to us. Keep sending us that message over and over and over again. Until we internalize it and we know it. And then, Father, may we take that beautiful forwarded message of Yours and forward it to those who need to read it, those who need to hear it, those who need to receive it, to let them know that we serve a risen Savior. In His awesome name we pray. Amen.